What's going on, successors? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. Y'all, I'm Jonathan Jones, and today is May 22nd, 2025. It's a great day to be alive. Today, we have attorney Fred Jones filling in for producer Britt. But y'all, we're going to get into today's show. We got a great show for you today. As always, the goal of Speak Your Success in the Morning is to not only just educate you, but also keep you informed. In addition to that, we want you to wake up fired up, to hop on, to listen to the show, to listen to the content. But then most importantly, after that, we have to share a friend. We have to share a friend. We got to tell a colleague. We got to tell our mom, our dad, somebody, because at the end of the day, the only way that we will close out this educational gap, as well as the wealth gap that's circulating all throughout our community, is by sharing information, right? Each one teach one, I believe is the phrase. Each one teach one. I used to be a teacher. And during that time that I taught, the process that we broke down was I do, right? So the teacher would show up with the information to be able to then facilitate through instruction. So I do first. Okay, then we do. So that's you and me. And then you do. So following through that structure and following through that process, now not only one person has the information, but then it can begin to be dispersed through a plethora of people. All right. So I hope y'all are rocking with us this morning. I hope y'all are ready for a great show. Today, we're going to dive in, and you've been seeing it all on social media. You've been seeing it on your Instagram. You've heard people talk about it at the barbershop and everything else, talking about the P. Diddy trial as they get ready to go into day 9 of the P. Diddy trial. We're going to get into that, and we're going to bring you a legal perspective because we have our legal counsel on the show today with attorney Fred Jones. And if you're ever in pain, if you're ever hurt, you need to phone Fred first. Okay, so we're going to get into that a little bit later, but you all know the flow of the show, and you know that on the front end, we got to get into the scripture. We got to get into the word. So today, I'm going to go ahead and kick off straight from the source, and knowing that, I don't know if y'all know or not, but let me inform you, okay? Let me inform you. So I'm married, been married for 5 years now, right? At the end of this year, it will be my wife and I celebrating 6 years of marriage. And I was thinking, as I was listening to a podcast last night, I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and let me share some scripture around and about marriage. Because I know everybody that tunes in isn't married, but you may aspire to become married one day, right? So today, for our Straight from the Source segment, I want to talk about Ephesians chapter 5. Just like I said before, so many people want to be married, right? Many people want to be married, but still, there's some things that we need to understand about marriage that just isn't. It's not just about the wedding, right? It's not just about the bride cake or the groom's cake. And these things are wonderful, but these are a moment, and a marriage is a lifetime. If y'all feel me in the chat, somebody just drop something in the chat just so I know y'all got a pulse. I know y'all rocking with me this morning. All right, y'all. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 21. It says, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Man, Dad, we can stop there and shut the show down. We can shut the show down and just stop right there. But we won't. We'll keep going. So submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Family, today, what I want to hit on, many times people can hear this text, right? Wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. Some people might say, well, wait, John, I don't know. Why would I submit to any man, right? First and foremost, what we must understand here in this text is that this isn't just you submitting to a man for the woman. This isn't you just submitting to a man. This is you submitting to the Lord, and your husband just happens to be a benefactor of that, right? But let me rewind back to verse 21, because I want to hit that first. It says submit to one another first, right? So this is saying that the husband, yes, is submitted to the wife. The wife, yes, is submitted to the husband. But either way, we're connected in this thing like a triangle. The wife is on one side of the point. The husband's on the other side. But under both sides, or over both sides, is Christ. So he is the cornerstone, as the Bible says. And he is the one who ultimately has full control. And he is the one who has total power in your marriage, the way that God designed it. Because marriage is a God thing. This is why marriage is not man and man. This is why marriage is not woman and woman. Because at the end of the day, to be able to procreate the way that God created marriage, you need a man and you need a woman. Let's keep going through this text. It says, for the husband, this is verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. What we know about the church, is that Christ was willing to die for the church. So now, in this sense, what we're talking about a sacrificial love, right? In marriage, we are called to love our wives as Christ loves the church. Sacrificially, yes. However, At times it may seem like we're dying in the marriage, because it's requiring us to give up something that we may not want to give up. That I'll speak about myself. There are times in the middle of the night, my wife may ask me to go get something out the kitchen, or might ask me, can you turn the fan on, or do different things like that. And in my flesh, I'm like, I don't want to get out this warm bed, just like you don't want to get out this warm bed. But at the end of the day, if I'm to love my wife as Christ loves the church, then I'm called to put her above myself. I'm called to love her sacrificially. And if I'm her covering, and then if I'm not willing to do what needs to be done, then that would require her to go outside of me. That would require her to go outside of our house. Y'all, I didn't want to preach today. Dad, I didn't want to preach today. But I'm just saying, man, this is so convicting for me. I'm gonna get ready to wrap this thing up, but this is so convicting for me. And I just want to share this with you all, because at the end of the day, marriage looks great on the outside, right? It's like you go into a store, you see a shiny package. It got the wrap, it got the bow, it got the ribbon. But at the end of the day, after you open up that package, or after you open, let's call it, I got two kids now, Dad. Let's call it a toy. After they open up that toy for Christmas and they throw away the outer contents of that toy, the gift wrap and everything like that, then ultimately what is required is some assembly. That looks like the work. So I just wanted to share today the challenge that I have for you all today as a husband. If you are a husband or an aspiring husband, I challenge you, are you willing to sacrifice for your bride? Are you willing to open the door for her? Are you willing to take her places when you don't want to go, but still enjoy yourself? Because this is the woman that you said you wanted to be with. So you need to do the things that she requires. And then wives, are you ready to submit to a man? Are you willing and allowing yourself in some of your own desires to be able to hand those over to the man and then allow him to lead in that way? He might not lead the way that you're most comfortable leading by yourself or in your single life, but still, if you've said, I'm going to lean into this man and I'm going to allow him to be my husband, I'm going to allow him the opportunity to lead this family? Well, let him lead then, baby. Let him lead. Let him lead. Y'all, I'm Jonathan Jones. This has been straight from the source this morning. It's a little bit different from how it usually is, but y'all, I just had to take some time with this text today. We're at Speaker Success in the morning. We're 14 minutes after the hour. We're coming right back. And when we come back, we're getting ready to dive into the Diddy trial. All right, family. We'll be right back with more Speaker Success in the morning after this quick commercial break.
Looking for an exciting workout that's not only fun, but makes you feel alive? It's time to step up your fitness. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece. That's your answer. This isn't your typical workout. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece is an energizing step workout that combines simple moves with fresh beats, both old and new, creating an atmosphere that makes fitness exciting. With a focus on all elements of fitness, cardio, muscular conditioning, flexibility, and balance, you're guaranteed to burn calories and get addicted to the energy. Extreme becomes your safe space, which is a welcome environment where everyone is accepted. It's where you can let go of those worries of the world and focus on getting healthy. Ready to get energized? Join Extreme Hip Hop with Treece today.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Family, welcome back to Speaker Success in the morning. It is May 22nd, 2025. We're 15 minutes after the hour, and we're your favorite morning show here with you every single morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Standard to 7 a.m. Central Standard. All right, y'all, we've seen the talk. If you are in this generation or even before this generation, you are familiar with the name P. Diddy. You're familiar with the name Sean Puffy Combs. You're familiar with the name Puffy. So seeing and hearing about this trial, watching it circulate all up and down your timeline, now is the time to where we need to be informed. We need to know what's going on around us, and we need to know what's happening in this trial. So what educated people do is if they know somebody who is in certain arenas that they're not as privy or as educated in, what do? Then they put in a call, right? And that's why here at Speaker Success in the Morning, that's why we have our Thursday Law Talk with attorney Fred Jones. So family, I don't want to belabor the point. I don't want to waste any time, but I want to go ahead and I want to get into this conversation. I want to go ahead and bring out my dad, attorney Fred Jones. If you're ever in pain, y'all, if you're ever in pain, you ever hurt, you need to phone Fred first. Attorney Fred Jones, attorney Fred Jones. Dad, let's go ahead and bring you out. Let's go ahead and bring you out. How you doing this morning, Dad? How you doing?
Life is good. No complaints.
All right. Life is good. No complaints. So, Dad, what do we need to know about this Diddy trial? Because we're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing a lot of emotions right now. Can you educate us a little bit just on where we currently are? Because we're getting ready to go into day 9 of the trial today. And I feel like there's been a lot of emotions riding high, right? A lot of feelings that people are having. But can we go back to the beginning? And what are we looking at here? Can you just talk to us from an attorney's perspective?
Yeah. What we have to do is drain the swamp of emotions. It's good to be here with you. Good to see you. And welcome those who are viewing. This trial is being taken place in New York right now. And it's multiple charges that have been brought against the defendant. Now, in a trial, the first thing you want to understand, John, is the difference between a civil trial and a criminal trial.
Okay, that's huge. Let's get that one established. In this case, in a civil case, the plaintiff is bringing a charge and they want to be paid. In a criminal case, the state is bringing a charge and they want somebody locked up.
Okay, so we're talking about prison or we're talking about getting paid.
Prison or getting paid. Talking about freedom or finances.
Okay.
In this case, he's going to be free or he's going to not be free. He's going to be locked up.
Okay.
And he's got the possibility of facing life in jail for this particular charge.
Oh, my.
But we got some serious charges here in this case. Racketeering, conspiracy, two counts of sexual trafficking, and two counts of transportation to engage in prostitution. Now, these are some serious charges, John. And if you ask the average lawyer, He or she wouldn't know what they are. They wouldn't know how to explain that. That's the truth.
I've heard racketeering. Never knew what it meant. Always heard it like in a show or something like that. Never was familiar with what that actually means.
So maybe we should break it down and give people a piece of knowledge.
Help us out, attorney.
What does it mean? The prosecutors say Diddy ran his business like a criminal enterprise. Okay. Now, that's racketeering. Racketeering is organized crime. It's normally associated with the mobsters or gangsters, that kind of thing. But we hear it more often in a case like this. So what must be proven by the prosecution? And when we say the prosecution, we're talking about the state.
And watch this, Don.
When we say the state, who are we talking about? Us is the state. We the people is the state. And where does the state get its money from?
The taxpayer. So when a person is caught up in a crime and finds themselves as a defendant, they can't win.
You know why? Because they're on both sides of the fence. You've already paid your tax dollars to pay the state to prosecute you as a defendant. And now you as a defendant got to go hire your own personal attorney to fight the state.
You're fighting against yourself. So in this case, let me see, there are three things that need to be proven. That there was a group working together for illegal purposes.
That's racketeering.
That Diddy helped run or manage that group.
That he helped run or manage the group.
That's got to be proven.
That has to be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt.
No. Okay, that's different. Wait a minute. See, this is why.
This is why you need to have legal counsel. And you used to always tell me this. You always need to have an attorney in your corner because we can go and start saying these things that we heard off Law and Order, and it sounds good, and it sounds like you know what we're talking about. But then we get behind the mic, and then we don't know. So help us out. Go ahead. I'm gonna let you talk right now.
Okay, why don't we pick back up on that burden of proof?
That's what you touched on, the burden of proof.
But let's establish what must be proven in this case for racketeering. And that we have to prove that he committed or planned at least two crimes as part of that group. Like sex trafficking, drug crimes of violence. That's what must be proven for racketeering.
But now he's not only on trial for racketeering. He's on trial for sex trafficking.
Which means he's accused of recruiting or forcing people into sex acts.
So see, this kind of stuff is going to be kind of hard.
Because you got to prove that he recruited and forced these people for money, power, control, using drugs, threats, or enforce.
And to be able to prove that somebody forced, that would mean that one, if you call somebody to the witness stand, then you're going to have multiple accounts. I'm assuming of people saying he forced me or I heard him force somebody else. Because if you have somebody saying he forced me, but then somebody else saying, well, no, he didn't force me. Like I volunteered. Right. Then this now creates, what am I trying to say?
Friction.
There we go.
You hear people say, well, she was only this age. He was only that age.
As long as you're over the age of majority and you can consent to an act, you are an adult.
The law is not going to look at the fact that he was only 13 or 19. That's adult age.
Okay, so you got to look at all those things, and they must be proven.
Now, for sex trafficking, what must be proven? That he caused someone to engage in sex, the person transported or moved them across state lines.
Anytime you go to get across state lines, you're going to get into federal stuff. And it was done through force
fraud, a conversion, a coercion. That's got to be proven. Okay.
So those are some of the real battles that who has to prove? The prosecution got to prove that.
Well, and this is taking place in New York, but not only are we talking about one person or two people, we're talking about multiple people in multiple states. So now this even furthers the layers of what's taking place within this trial, right? Because we're talking multiple states, multiple women throughout the duration of multiple years.
Multiple women, multiple states, multiple years.
This isn't just about one accuser or a single person or a single moment.
Wow.
Allegations spans for decades that involve interstate trafficking and includes multiple victims. Okay.
Now when you get three, four, five, or six people on a stand saying the same thing, this is going to raise the stakes. It's not just a reputation crisis. It's a pattern.
If they're claiming this man had a pattern, and there's going to be deep consequences to this pattern.
That's what the law is looking at.
Now this jury must hear all of this stuff, synthesize all of this, and say, beyond a reasonable doubt, he's convicted.
And all the jurors must be on the same page.
Okay. So looking at this, as we see what today's going in, getting ready to go into day nine, right? We've been seeing a lot of emotions going on. And I personally, on my timeline, I've been seeing like a lot of quotes and different things. Based on what you know and based on your perspective in this case, I don't want to say do you think there's one side that's winning or not, but based on what you've seen thus far, where do you not where do you stand, but from a legal perspective, do you think there is an upper hand right now in this case?
If you ever want to understand the law, follow the money trail. For those that are listening, those that are watching and review, if you ever want to understand the law, follow the money trail. Okay?
What do you mean?
Who has the deepest pockets?
In a criminal case, who holds the purse?
The prosecution. The state. So anytime you are brought into a federal court, of course the state has the advantage.
Because the state has all the money, all the resources.
This is why cases like this get all the media hype, because these kind of cases go on every day.
Let's back up.
These kind of cases go on every day. In court. But you don't hear all this because they're not Diddy. They're not O.J. Simpson.
They're not a big name. Yeah.
The only reason why the big name cases get this kind of publicity is because they have deep enough pockets to bring it to the public's awareness.
So who's leading, who's winning?
I don't know.
It's always going to sound, as the scripture says, he who speaks first always sounds right.
Because you come out and people hear your side of the story, and as long as the prosecution is putting witnesses on the stand, all the public is hearing, here's what he did, here's what she did, here's what happened, this person was dragged, this person was drugged, this person was dumped.
You hear all of that. Uh-huh. You're sitting there, oh my God, he's a monster. He's a beast.
Yeah.
He's a horrible person.
Then comes the defense.
But wait a minute.
What about this? Did you know she said this?
Yeah.
Did you know she did this? This was on her own free will accord. Here's her phone. Here's his.
And all of a sudden, boom.
remember the burden of proof
beyond a reasonable doubt.
Oh man. Yeah, and it's so interesting you say that, Dad, because that is what I have been seeing. And based on some of the stuff that I've seen and just some of the quotes that they've taken from Cassie and then putting her on the stand and then cross-examining her and then asking her about her previous intimate and sexual history. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you have this lady on the stand in front of her family, in front of her kids, and you're asking about double digit number of partners. I'm like, oh no, this does appear as if your judgment could have been questioned or can be questioned based on your history of what you're admitting to here, just based on, you know, connection and different things like that.
That's the risk and the burden that victims of sexual crimes and offenses carry, unfortunately. They carry the burden of having to expose their personal life, their private life, their intimate life. But why do women and men do this? They do this because the benefit of a victory is greater than the burden of a defeat.
I'm going to say that again. Please.
The benefit of a victory in a criminal sexual case.
We're talking about why women would expose this. Why would a man expose his own personal sexual life?
The benefit of a victory is greater than the burden of a defeat.
When people come out in sexual cases like this and speak, it's because they want accountability.
They want somebody to stop the system. They want their story to be heard.
And what they're saying is enough is enough. And whether they can prove it or not, at least the defendants, the prosecution, the state, the victims have been heard.
That's why people say when you come into a criminal charge or you get a charge against you, you've already lost. Because you got to shame the person who perpetrated the crime.
You got the shame and the reputation damage.
And that's what Mr. Combs is dealing with, the reputation damage.
A lot of times people can overcome it.
But a lot of times, many times, they don't.
Yeah, that's one of those things to where it is just like how people make references or speak to the fact of like somebody's legacy and somebody's history. And then they might come back and say, but there's just this little asterisk by it. Right.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, previous history, what happened, what took place. Wow. Yeah. And one of the biggest things for victims is they often are silenced. Even with some victims who even potentially or who have come out later, right, who have come out later and they might have held this for years. And then people always ask, well, why did they say anything? Why did they wait so long? Why?
Like I said, oftentimes the victims don't say anything because of the shame.
So many times and so often, victims feel like, am I going to be heard? Are they going to believe me?
How many times have I spoke to women?
And I've worked primarily with a lot of women in my business.
How many times have I spoken to them and they tell me that somebody offended them and they told their mother and their mother didn't believe them.
Wow.
That right there will stop you or any woman from coming out and being forthright about what's going on with them.
It hinders them.
And this is the tragedy. And this is where the law comes in.
When the law realizes that somebody's doing something they shouldn't be doing, they're doing it consistently, they're doing it across state lines, and it's been ongoing.
That's why you'll see an investigation.
And the investigation will start, and they'll come in and seize the computer, seize your phones, seize all of your documents, and once they get all of that information, they synthesize it, and there's a reason why the prosecution must prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt.
You know why?
Why is that?
Because you got all the resources, you got all the paperwork, you got everything that you need, and if you can't prove beyond a reasonable doubt, then we're not going to allow you to come in here and destroy somebody's life based on an accusation.
My.
Does that make sense?
I'm with you. Like the old folks say, I'm with you when you're right. So now where we're at in this case. Well, actually, what we're gonna do? We're gonna take a quick commercial break. But once we come back from the break, excuse me, I want to talk a little bit about civil settlements, and I want to just break that down just a little bit, because oftentimes I've seen with cases when they end up either settling out of court or they end up settling. What does this really mean? What does this mean for the defendant? What does this mean for the plaintiff? So we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. Everybody out there, this is Speaker Success in the Morning. We're 35 minutes after the hour. We're here with Attorney Fred Jones, and we're talking about the Diddy case and what you really need to know. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Speaker Success in the Morning.
Do you want to feel confident in your skin every day? Introducing Skin Rituals, a luxury home-based skin studio that specializes in hyperpigmentation, acne, and personalized treatments for every skin type. Owned by solo esthetician and registered nurse, Courtney Durham, Skin Rituals is all about curating facial treatments designed just for you. Hydrate, brighten, nourish, and soothe your skin with expert care and cutting-edge techniques that promote natural healing. Whether you're looking for a relaxing facial or a transformative chemical peel, Skin Rituals offers results-driven treatment tailored to your needs. With over 7 years of experience, Courtney's goal is to help you safely achieve the healthy skin that you deserve. At Skin Rituals, we believe that taking care of your skin is an investment in your confidence. Book your appointment today and leave every session feeling grateful for the choice that you made to take care of yourself. Skin Rituals, because your skin deserves the very best.
Family, what's going on? Welcome back. Welcome back to Speaker Success in the Morning. Today is Thursday, May 22nd. We are 36 minutes after the hour. And y'all, we're currently diving in, talking about what's been going on with the P. Diddy case. What does it mean? And what are some things and some areas of information that we should be informed about and we should know about? So we're going to get ready to go ahead and dive back in with Attorney Fred Jones as we just continue to navigate through what does this mean and what we need to know around the Diddy case. Here we are, Attorney Fred Jones. Welcome back, sir. Welcome back to Speaker Success in the Morning. Glad to have you here joining us. And you know, there's no better feeling than knowing that you have an attorney on your side. Right. An attorney you can call on when you need that insight, when you need that support. So family out there, if you're ever in pain, phone Fred first. Be sure to follow Attorney Fred Jones to make sure that you stay connected and just to make sure that you can bring him in your fold. Right. You can bring him in the fold. So, Dad, before we went on commercial break, we were just talking about settling a civil case, and what does that mean? Can you help us out with that from your perspective as an attorney?
Yeah, we're talking about settling a civil case. In Mr. Combs' case, this is a criminal case. In a criminal case, it's all about freedom, whether you're going to go to jail or whether you're going to stay at home. But in a civil case, this is a civil lawsuit, not criminal, and it is an agreement between the parties. Civil, it sounds. You ever heard somebody say, why can't you just act civil?
Yeah.
Why can't you just be civilized?
Yeah, civilized.
Well, that's what we're talking about when we say a civil lawsuit.
A civil lawsuit, one party agrees to pay money to the other party.
One party agrees to take an action.
Are you going to pay money or are you going to take some kind of action? Okay.
In return, the other party drops the lawsuit.
And that ends the legal action. Okay.
That's a civil case. Okay.
Now this often happens before trial.
But it can happen during trial.
But when there is an agreement that's made,
does this mean that the person's innocent? Does this mean they're guilty? Or can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Oftentimes, in a civil case, What you're looking at is just beyond a preponderance of the evidence.
There's a different level of proof in a civil case.
Preponderance of the evidence.
What that means is you just got to convince the judge or the jury that it's just a little bit more true than not.
51%.
Oh, wow.
That's a civil case.
Just a little bit more than not. Okay.
That's a civil case.
Now, civil case is not about innocence or guilt.
A civil case is about, is it more likely, or did this happen, or did you cause that harm?
That's a civil case.
It's more about money and it's softer than a criminal case.
Now, in a criminal case,
you got to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's a much heavier burden.
And now we don't call it a settlement.
Well, you can call it a settlement.
But we generally call it in a criminal case a plea bargain.
You ever heard of that?
I've watched a few movies in courtrooms. I've heard of a plea bargain. Can we just break it down though? Can you just give us a high level definition of a plea bargain?
The defendant, like in this case, Mr. Combs,
the defendant agrees to a lesser charge. So we might have first degree murder as a charge.
Well, first degree murder is more serious than manslaughter.
So the prosecution might say, well, we know you killed him, and we could charge you with first degree murder, but if you won't accept this lesser charge and spend less time and pay a lesser fine, we'll drop it to manslaughter.
And if he don't accept that, then he's got to go into court and prove beyond a reasonable doubt
that he didn't commit first degree murder.
That's the difference, okay?
Or they could drop it down to something more simple. Okay. Now, what happens in a plea bargain,
it's an exchange for a lesser sentence to avoid the trial altogether.
And it happens generally during the trial or before trial in order to save time.
So that's the difference between a plea bargain and a settlement.
A settlement generally happens in a civil case. A plea bargain happens in a criminal case. But the whole idea is to save time, money, and the court.
Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Because if you settle before, then you're definitely gonna save time, and you're also gonna save yourself from being your name potentially being dragged through the mud a little bit longer, and then you got attorney fees, court fees, all those other different type fees that come with that as well.
There's also another way that people can save time, money, and the court save time and money, and that's mediation.
Okay.
And I'm a certified Alabama mediator, and I can sit down, and parties can have a pending case in the court.
But the court can say before the case comes to court, or before it's set for a trial,
you guys should mediate,
and y'all should figure this out.
And when parties mediate, it gives them a chance to settle the dispute under their own terms without the judge and the law saying what they must do.
So, there you go.
They get to settle it.
And by the way, the law will not come to the aid of anyone who enters into a bad bargain.
If two people agree on something and y'all sign and agree on it,
that's a deal.
And the law will uphold that deal.
If you knowingly, willingly, and freely enter into that agreement, then it's a binding agreement.
Just that simple.
Okay. I agree to sell you my car for $2.
Well, that car ain't worth 50 cents.
You agree to pay me $2.
Well, you sign the agreement. You buy the car for $2 or whatever.
All right. Yeah, I think today's been very, very informative. Just really diving in and talking about the case, talking about where the case is. Do you have any final thought? Do you have any final thought that you feel that we should know or that you would like to hit on the case before we get ready to do our final word and get ready to hop out of here for today's show?
Well, this is the federal crime, not just a scandal, okay? And most people treat it like tabloid gossip, but this is a serious federal prosecution involving RICO, and that is a racketeering, influencing, corrupt organizational act. And this means the government believes there's a pattern going on here, okay? We see that there was multiple victims over state lines, multiple times, multiple years, and this is a pattern that somebody felt that it needs to be called to the attention of the public and of the court. Now, we often hear people talk about guilt, and we hear you talk about what's going on social media, and the court of public opinion.
Be careful of the court of public opinion.
You're innocent until proven guilty. I don't care who you are. You're innocent until proven guilty in America, even when public opinion says otherwise. So Diddy is presumed innocent, and the burden is on the government to prove that he committed the act beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, public emotion doesn't equal evidence. I want to say that again. Public emotion doesn't equal evidence. Just jumping to conclusions can distort justice very, very easily. So we want to keep that in mind. A couple other points that I would encourage the public to keep in mind is this. Civil settlements don't mean innocent or guilty. Past settlements, like the ones in the Cassis case, are not admissions of guilt in the eyes of the law.
Just because she accepted money and settled doesn't mean that someone was guilty.
Civil cases involve a different criminal, as we had talked about before. Okay. The best practice is we need to lead with the facts and not our feelings. We need to clarify the charges and the terms. And John, we need to emphasize the presumption of innocence.
Emphasize the presumption of innocence, and then let the court play out. Let it all play out in court. Oh man, one of my coaches used to always tell me, "Dad," he said, "we can see whatever we see on the paper, we can see what we see on the scouting report, but at the end of the day, y'all got to get out there and y'all still got to play the game. You still got to play the game, and in this case." This is really in the hands of the courtroom between the judge, between the attorneys, and whatever plan they put together for the defense or for the plaintiff. So yeah, they just have to get out there and they just gotta play the game.
You gotta play the game, and you gotta let the rule of law do what the rule of law does. And we just have to be careful of celebrity worship. And social media madness. And let the facts be the facts.
That's it right there. That's it. And that's probably one of the biggest parts, I think, that in some of these cases, and I'll just speak about this case, that's what we're talking about, to where people can be swayed and pulled because they'll say, oh, especially with P. Diddy being a musician and an artist. And one thing we know about music, you hear certain songs, it will trigger you to certain memories. So you can say, oh, I remember when this song was played at my prom. I remember when this song was played when we were going and whatever. It's connected to a time of nostalgia or connected to another time of a joyous event. So now, as it comes to the court of public opinion having to make a judgment on which side they fall on, now their opinion can potentially be swayed based on the feelings versus the facts of the situation. So I think that's where it gets tricky for some.
Start with the facts. Release your faith. To believe whatever you want to believe after you hear the facts. And feelings will follow.
Say that. Run that under the bridge one more time.
Always start with the facts. Get the facts.
Get the facts.
If you don't have all the facts, reserve your opinion, reserve your feelings.
Just say, I don't have the facts. Then release your faith. Once you believe, once you got the facts, you can release your faith to believe whatever you want to believe.
And then feelings will follow.
But oftentimes, we put our feelings first. We don't care about the facts, and we release our faith to believe whatever we want to believe.
It's kind of like people that believe Elvis is still alive.
Or that Donald Trump tells the truth.
Oh, Lord.
I just thought I would say that.
Okay. Folks, if you're ever in pain, phone Fred first. All right. If you're ever in pain, phone Fred first. Dad, as always, we're grateful to have you on the platform. Grateful to have our Thursday's Law Talk with Attorney Fred Jones. So, family, if you're ever in pain, phone Fred first. Dad, you have anything else you want to share with the people?
Stay connected. Keep watching Speak Your Success. Set a reminder, join every morning. John is one of the greatest voices out there. And this program brings you cutting edge information and social updates to keep you in the know.
So speak your success and create the life and business of your dreams.
Why live any other kind of way?
All right. Thank you, Dad. All right, family. So we're going to go ahead and get ready to get out of here. Today is Thursday, May 22nd, 2025. We're 50 minutes after the hour. And family, I want to remind you all, just for you all being here today and just for you all being a successor, rocking with Speaker Success in the morning, I want to give you a free gift. I want to give you free access to my podcast program. Okay. We have the link just down below in the show notes. You can click that link and you'll get access to not only my community, but also you'll get access to where you can begin to go through the podcast modules to help you go from idea to ultimately elevation of you starting your very own podcast. Okay, so we have the link down there in the show notes. It says free podcast community. Be sure to click that link and get full access. And family, we're here Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Standard to 7 a.m. Central Standard. Every single day of the week, okay? So remember, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why should you and why would you live any other way?